36. It's wonderful to have my nieces and nephew with us visiting this week, Allie, Kay, and Jordan, having a good time with them. All right, Psalm 119, verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore does my soul keep them. The entrance of your words gives light, it gives understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love your name. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not your law. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray for your help tonight, and I pray that as we look at this section of 119 of Psalms that you would bless, and may we be encouraged tonight as we see some signs that we love God's Word from this passage, and we see that Lord, what it truly means to love your Word. And I pray that, Lord, that we'd leave here tonight with a greater adoration of it and hold it high in our hearts, that we would see some of the signs here that shows it how much we love your Word and help us to love it more. We thank you for your word that you give us to teach us, to guide us, to be a light to us, to protect us, to watch over us, to feed us. Help us to love it, Lord, every day and hide it in our heart so we don't sin against you. And we love you. Help us to love you and your word even more than we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. 129. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore does my soul keep them. The testimonies, it speaks of the witness of God's Word, the things that God testifies of. Sometimes we talk about giving a testimony. Well, God gives testimony of a lot of things. Everything we read in His Word is a testimony of God. It's God's testimony, God's witness. So basically all of God's Word is a witness, we could say, to ourselves, or the truth. The witness of God's Word was a wonderful and marvelous thing unto David. I just pause there for a moment. Your testimony, speaking of the Word of God, is wonderful. You think about what today people might consider to be wonderful. Wonderful. I mean, there's a lot of things we call wonderful. I just so wonderful. And, you know, we kind of throw that word around a little bit. But wonder, that's amazement. That David is in amazement at the Word of God. It's wonderful. It's full of amazement. When God looked at the Word of God, He said, the Word of God is full of amazement to me. And you know what? That's how we should be as God's people towards the Word of God. We should look in the Word of God and say, I am full of amazement when I read what God has to say in the Scriptures. Full of amazement. He loved the Word of God so much. He esteemed the Word of God in his heart. And because of such, He sought to walk in them. He says, my soul does keep them. You know, I believe the more that we fall in love with the Word of God, the more we want to keep it. He says, your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. Whenever we esteem God's Word, when we have that kind of esteem that is wonderful, it's amazing, then we want to walk in it. The reason we don't walk in it is we don't esteem it. We need an esteem for the Word of God so that we might truly walk in it. Thomas Watson said, highly prize the Scriptures or you will not obey them. I like that. When we truly esteem God's Word, then we will obey them. So we're not very likely to be obedient, to walk in them, if we are not in love with them, admire them, or in wonder of them, even more than anything else. We need to often to consider the Word of God and how wonderful and marvelous it is. Thomas Watson also said, the Scripture is the compass by which the rudder of our will is to be steered. It is the field in which Christ, the pearl of price, is hid. It is a rock of diamonds. It is a sacred eye salve. It mends their eyes that look upon it. It is a spiritual optic glass in which the glory of God is resplendent. It is the universal medicine for the soul. The leaves of Scripture are like the leaves of the tree of life for the healing of the nations. The Scripture is both the breeder and feeder of grace. I mean, I just love that quote about God's Word. If we could truly see the Word of God, like He said, and as the Scriptures teach, and we loved it and thought of it as such a wonder and amazement as David did, then we will say, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul will keep them. See the connection? We have to have that esteem for it. You know, a lot of times, well, if they would just do God's Word, they'd just do God's Word. No, if they would esteem God's Word, they would do God's Word. It's got to be up here. And when it's up here, it's in here. And then we will have it down here in our feet, right? That's the way that it works. The entrance of your, verse 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Now, there are no doubt some reasons that David knew that the Word of God is wonderful. This is one of them. He talked about the Word being amazement. Then he says, your words gives light. The entrance of your words gives light. This is no doubt one of the reasons why that David is in awe of the Word of God or in amazement of the Word of God. He has seen it give light. He has seen it give light. It had given him light. I think back in a few verses before in 105, he said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word entrance here in verse 130 speaks of opening. Opening. The entrance of your words. It speaks of opening. It's the opening of the words of God that gives light. In other words, the Word of God, the entrance of your words, when your words come in, when your words enter, you know, the Word has got to come in. The Word has got to come in here. And when it comes in here, then it gives light. There's also the opening of the Word, too. Sometimes we say, open the Word. We say that, don't we? We say, open up the Word. And so there's more implied there, too. It's more than just opening the book. If we pray, Lord, open your word up to us, we're not saying, God, open up the book like this, you know. We're not talking about, when we say open up the word, we're saying, Lord, let it enter into me, or let me enter into it. You know, that should be our prayer, that the Lord would open us up to the word, and the word would open up to us. We should want God's word to enter deep into our hearts, to enter in. We come to God's word, we pray, maybe, Lord, let me see the light of your word. Let it enter into the dark recesses of my heart. When God's word is opened up unto us, it will shed light on our life. The entrance of your words give light. They give light. Then we can further say with David, your testimonies are wonderful. Entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding, he says, unto the simple. The word simple literally means kind of, in this word, when you look it up right here in the translation here, it speaks more of silly or even foolish. I mean, the Word of God gives us maturity. It gives understanding of the simple. I mean, I like that because, that sounds kind of bad. No, think about it for a moment, because you don't have to know a lot to know to hear God's Word. You don't have to have some kind of big education to understand what God's Word says. It gives understanding the simple. In other words, the person that doesn't know much, the person that's almost silly in their thinking, without understanding, the person that we would say, they're just kind of foolish or young or whatever. Listen, God can give understanding to the simple. I've seen children understand more about the Word of God than I've seen grown adults who are elder know about the Word of God. God's Word can inform the simple, the young at heart, all of that. It gives understanding to the simple. Also, if within that word, there was another word, was actually the word seducible too. And with that thought there, I believe it, we're also being taught that we need to realize that we need light because we can be seducible. We can be vulnerable. We can be vulnerable. And so we need God's Word to open up unto us, to light our path. So we need an understanding that we can be very silly. We can be very vulnerable. We can be seducible. And the only thing that can protect us, teach us, and help us is the entrance of the Word of God. It will protect us. It gives light. It does not necessarily give understanding to those who think themselves wise and prudent, right? But Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have revealed these things unto babes. Unto babes. Verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Do you see this love for God's Word? I mean, we've seen it all through Psalm 119. But he says, I opened my mouth and panted. It's like a hunger. It's like a thirst that is being described here. He thirsted for the Word of God. I longed for your commandments. I mean, you talk about a hunger and a thirst. He continues here to open his mouth. He esteems God's Word as wonderful. It's given him understanding. And he continues to open his mouth. And I get the picture of almost like a baby bird, you know, that's crying out to its mother for the food. You know, I opened my mouth and panted. And I get that picture. Here we are, the little baby birds, and God's given us the food. And we long for it. We hunger for it. We cry out for it. There should be times that because we love God's Word, one of the signs is that we literally pant after it. We long for it. Now, of course, the flesh doesn't want the Word of God. But the soul within pants after as a thirsty animal. The word pant here speaks to inhale eagerly. Like, whew, I mean, just take it in. I love it when I see that kind of hunger in people for the Word of God. They are just inhaling everything. They're just taking it in. Let that be us. Let us not, with a dread, try to force ourselves to open up God's Word and read it or to hear it. Or so forth. Let us pant after it. Let us long for it. That's a sign that we love it. You know, the things you love, you really long for. You really are very eager for it. How eager are we to? I know we have to fight the flesh at times, but you know, we should be eager to open up the Word, eager to learn, eager to hear what God has to say. Verse 132, he says, "Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love your name." David here wanted God to look upon him, to be merciful to him. He wanted God to gaze upon him with favor. He wanted to be approved of in the sight of God. And he knew that for that to happen, that it would have to be the mercy of God. And he also knew that God was merciful unto those, he says, who love your name. Also, I take notice that there's a connection here between loving God's name and loving God's Word. And you cannot separate that. If you're going to love God, you're going to love the Word of God. David also just wanted God to look upon him with favor and mercy as he had others who had loved him. David obviously is reflecting back. And when he says, as I used to do unto those that love your name, David is possibly reflecting back upon some of the mercy that he knew of other people of God, that God had bestowed upon, his mercy upon. And so he's asking for that. In right now, in that time, in that moment. Verse 133, order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order. That word order speaks of direct or fix. David wanted some order in his life. David wanted some structure in his life. Order my steps in your word. Sometimes we must confess that the reason our steps are not directed by God's Word is because we didn't love God's Word, esteem God's Word for them to be directed by it. We will want God's Word to direct us when we have a heart like David that esteems God's Word as wonderful. And we long for it. We're sure to be directed by God's Word when it is what we've been longing after. You know, sometimes, well, God, I want God to just lead me. Well, get in the Word of God. That's how God directs us. Order my steps in your Word. God, I want to do your will. Well, get in the Word of God and find out what the will of God is. Order my steps in your Word. I want God to direct my steps. Well, get in the Word. I've been in the ministry long enough to see many times people say, well, God wants me to do this. And I'm looking at the Bible, I'm like, no, you don't. No, God did not, it wasn't God's will for you to leave your husband and marry someone you met on the internet. Sorry, I don't believe that. You know, you just can't say you want to do God's will or claim something to be God's will because you just feel like it's God's will when it goes completely contrary to God's Word. God just doesn't do that. God's not going to contradict Himself. So something else I see here, God will not fail to have mercy and direct us as we seek as his child to long after his commandments in our life. I mean, he's crying out for mercy, and he's asking God for direction. He's crying out for all of these other things, but at the same time, there's a spirit of submission here. A lot of times people want God to do something, but they don't want to do anything themselves. We're not talking about salvation here, but when we as God's people, I mean, he's asking God to do some stuff, but at the same time, he's also, Lord, I want your word in my life. In other words, it wasn't a one-sided relationship here. A lot of people want a one-sided relationship with God. They want God to show up when they have a need. They want God to do this. They want God to do that. But when you talk about going to church or worship or singing or praising or giving or being in the Word, nah. This isn't a one-sided relationship, is what I'm pointing out with David. And as God, he had a good relationship. It wasn't just about God will you. It's also about God I will. And we need that. We need that. But he says, order my steps in your word. And he says, I love this when he says, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. I believe that sometimes we have a misstatement. I've heard Christians say over the years, I've never heard any of you guys say it, but over time, I've heard it from time to time. Sometimes people refer to kind of like the sin that does easily beset them, like their pet sin. You know, you all never used that phrase, but I've heard it in the past. And it's almost gives the idea that people might have a certain sin that they're addicted to, and it's almost like it's just this little pet. You know, they can pick it up, put it down whenever they want. And I've even heard people say, "Well, I can quit whenever I want," but yet they never do. They say it like they're the ones in control. You know, it doesn't really have any power over me. But in reality, they are actually in bondage. The sin has them rather than them having the sin. And there's a difference there. The word dominion here speaks of to govern. When sin gets a hold in your life, it governs you. It controls you. And it controls how you think. I tell you, once you start allowing any sin to have dominion in your thought process, other sin, it begins to govern you, and you start accepting other things as well. You start thinking this one's okay, well, why not this one? You logically think. Sometimes it tells us where to go, what time to go. Certain sins tell us, you know, how far to go. Certain sins tell us a lot about ourselves and how we think. We base our thoughts and ideas around the sins that we've learned to accept, approve, and justify, rather than upon what the Word of God says about it. People say, well, I can quit any time, but yet they don't. It has them. It has it. And David, here's what I see in David, though, is he said, let not any sin, any iniquity have dominion over me. He didn't want any kind of a pattern of sin in his life whatsoever. He says, there, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He didn't want any pattern of sin, nothing in his life that was just going to stay there. You know, we're all going to fight sin, aren't we, as Christians? We're going to fight sin. We're going to turn from it here, turn from it there, turn from this one, turn from that one. It's there every day. And we got to keep fighting that. And sometimes we'll mess up still. We're not perfect. We know that. But I really don't think that's even what David's talking about here. David's talking about a sin, a certain iniquity is getting a pattern in his life, a hold in his life, something that has a hold of him that just won't let go, something he's got to have, something he's got to do. See, that is different than you know, walking through the day, you know, every day, and there's sin here, sin there, no, 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 and then you're saying all, but then there's a pattern, something that gets a hold in your life, an addiction, we might say. Of some kind, it's not right. See, David didn't want anything like that to control him. He wanted to be completely under the control of the Word of God and not upon sin. Now, also, I want to take notice here very quickly is that David is praying this, so he's acknowledging the possibility. I like that because David's not so full of himself to say, you know what, I love God's Word so much. I'm just so close to God. I want to keep God's Word so much. I mean, I'm not worried about this sin thing. No, he's still humble and he still says, Lord, protect me. Lord, do not let any sin have dominion over, any iniquity have dominion over me. So David still realizes the propensity, the ability for him, even still a lover of God's Word, to get into a sin to where it's got some control over him. And he did at one point. No matter where we are today, we can never be so full of ourselves to think that a dominion couldn't start to creep in and start having some dominion and control over us tomorrow. So we have to be careful of that and remain humble. Verse 134, deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep your precepts. David not only wanted deliverance from the dominion and control of sin, he didn't want sin to have dominion, but he also wanted deliverance from the oppression of man. You know, I think, I say this often, but I thank God for our present freedoms today. And we, of course, can look at things and be concerned about man at this moment in this country. We might see our freedoms being taken away little by little as Christians. And, of course, we want God to protect those freedoms. We get that, that protect us from oppression. No doubt a great concern. I read this quote, though, from Michael Bruce from 1666, who said this. I just love this quote. He said, I had rather be a prisoner to man all my life than be in bondage to sin for one day. Ooh. I just loved thinking about that because I thought, wow, I'd rather be prisoner to man all my life than be in bondage to sin one day. I like that. We may very well be in oppression someday from man more in this country and may not be free at all from the oppression of man. But I'd rather be free from sin. If there was a choice. If there was a choice, would you rather be governed by sin or governed by the oppression of man? Which would you want? You know, we ought to be more concerned, right, about sin not having dominion over us than even man not having dominion over us. And I believe me, I don't want that. David didn't want that. He didn't want either one. He didn't want oppression on either side. But here's what I want to take notice, though, is why did David not want the oppression of man? What was it that he said? He said this. He said, deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep your precepts. He knew that there was a certain restraint being put upon him through the oppression of man. Yes, we can still serve the Lord and not be in bondage to man and still in a sense be free no matter what's going on. But when there's oppression of man, there are some restraints that keeps us from doing certain things as Christians. David wanted freedom from oppression of man so that he could serve the Lord more fully in whatever capacity he's thinking of. Why? And my point in all of that is just to say this, why do we want it? Why do we want freedom from oppression of man? Why do we want it? It should be so that we can serve the Lord in a greater capacity. That's what we're taught in the New Testament, right? To pray for those in authority. Why? So that we may live in all peace and godliness. And so there's a certain, so why do we even want the freedoms? A lot of people are so upset over the loss of freedoms, but they're not upset over them for the right reason. That's what concerns me, even about Christians. They're upset, we're losing our freedoms. But they're not using their freedoms right now in the sense of which David was thinking of freedom. I just want to make sure that we want freedom for the right reasons. So why do we want liberty? To serve God freely and openly without persecution? That's a good reason why. That's a good reason. Now, verse 135. Make your face to shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. When we think about God's face shining upon us, I just love that phrase. Make your face to shine upon your servant. God's face shining. God's face glowing. Like a light in the eye of God as we look upon Him. Make your face to shine. It gives the idea of almost a child looking at a father or and just and just smiling with approval upon them, or someone they look up to. What is it that we might think of, boy, if God shined on us? Boy, I wish God would shine upon me. What would it look like? What would it look like if God shined on you? Well, I know what some people would say it looked like, you know, in our culture, society. Well, if God shows you favor, if God shines on your life, you know, you're going to have this and that. You're going to have a better job, a new, better wealth, you know, better health, all of that. God could give those things, but He may not. And those things are no sign that God is definitely shining upon you. But obviously, from this verse, one sure way you can know that God is shining on your life, that you found favor with God, is very simple. Is that you are being taught His ways. Make your face shine upon your servant. Teach me your statutes. Is God shining on you? Are you learning anything from the Word of God? God has shown you favor. God has shined His light on you. Forget the houses, forget the cars, forget the money. What's greater than to know that God is showing you His truth from His Word each and every day, every time you open it, when you hear it read, when you hear it taught? Say, I want the favor of God on my life. Well, if you're learning anything from God's Word, you've got it. You've got it. Make your face shine upon me. What do we think of? May your favor be upon me, Lord. Well, that means you want to be taught His Word. Folks, God has shined His favor on us a great deal. Anything we know, of course, by the grace of God. But God has showed us favor. Let's just worship the Lord for that, you know. Very lastly here, very quick, 136, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not your law. David loved the Word of God so much that when anybody didn't keep it, it bothered him. I had a lot more to say about that, but let's just leave it at that. David loved God so much. He loved the Word of God so much. I mean, when anybody went against it, it bothered him. You folks, how much we love God's Word is seen by how much it bothers us when other people don't obey God's Word. If we've grown accustomed to our culture, our society, or people around us just going against the commandments, the laws of God, and what He teaches right, and we're not affected by it no more, then, well, they just... Listen, we have to question ourselves about how much we love God's Word. Because when we really love it, it should bother us when other people break it as well. We don't want to get cold and calloused in these last days because iniquity is abounding. We don't want that to happen to us. The love of many shall wax cold in the end, while when iniquity abounds, the love of many, the love for what? The love for God, the love for His Word, the love for others. When we see iniquity abounding, let us still be affected by it. Where are we at tonight in relationship with the Word of God? Is it wonderful? Do we seek to keep it? Is it opening up unto us? Do we long for it? Do we want God to favor us with understanding of it? Does it bother us when it's not kept and followed by others? May God help us to be a people like David, a people after God's own heart. All right. Father, use this lesson tonight. Help us to love Your Word more and more. And I just pray, Father, that You help us understand that if we have Your Word in our hearts and we have light and we have understanding of it and we want it, Lord, we have been shown great favor from You. Thank You, Lord, for revealing Your Word to us, and help us to see it. In Jesus' name, amen.